Amen. All right, if you will, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to say it's a great privilege to be here with you and appreciate everything we've heard and felt in this service tonight. And we look forward to these days of meeting and trust that God will help us this week. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. You know, a lot of times you got preachers that come in and they always break the ice with two or three jokes. And I've got a sense of humor, but God never lets me get up and crack a bunch of jokes like that. Amen. But it's a joy to be here. And I do want to say this. It's good to see Brother Austin and his family tonight. And some that we haven't seen in a long time, Brother Bilbrey and his wife, Sister Sharon. It's good to see Brother James. And it's good to be back with y'all. Amen. Pray for us tonight that God will help us and God will use us. We certainly covet your prayers. I'd like to preach on the goodness of God and how wonderful he is and how great he is, but that's not really the direction that God's charted us out tonight. So you pray for us. And I know sitting in a church like this, I don't know how many people's here tonight, but I know there's a great load of potential here to do great things for God. And I'd encourage you when I pray that after this week's over, God will have more, there'll be more of him in your life and less of you. Amen. Yes. You pray that for me.
Yeah, brother.
I want there to be more of him and less of me.
Yep.
As that young lady was singing earlier. And I tell you, that's what we need, boy.
Yes.
In a bad way. Be good we get to the place where we can see no man save Jesus only.
Hey,
amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen.
All right, God.
And may God help us in that endeavor. Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse number 1. I'm going to read the first 8 verses in your hearing. And take these verses and look at them a little bit this evening. Try to give you the thoughts that's on her heart.
Oh, yeah.
These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel. On this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Azahab. There are 11 days' journey from Oreb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea.
Yep.
It came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth and Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Oreb, saying, I want you to listen to this thought, and this is where we'll be preaching from. You have dwelt long enough in this mound.
Yep.
Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and in all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, and to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and of the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Thank you, and go ahead and be seated tonight. Let's bow our hearts and heads for a word of prayer. Our fathers, we bow before you tonight. We do want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, to stand in this church and preach tonight. And God, Lord, I pray that you'd hide us behind the cross. God, I realize, Lord, it's nothing of me, God. If there be anything done, Lord, it'll be done despite us. God, I pray that you'd fill us again with your spirit afresh and anew. I pray, God, that you'd move in this place and work on hearts. And God, I pray that the Holy Ghost, dear Lord, will go before us. Oh, God, that you'll plow the ground tonight. God, that fallow ground, Lord, that you'll turn it up. And oh, God, that the hammer of your word will break those clods in pieces. God, that you'd be pleased to sow your seed in our midst tonight. God, we appreciate this good man of God. Lord, what a responsibility, God, to preach tonight. And I pray you'd use us, God, not for vanity's sake and not for vainglory, but God, that you might be honored. Lord, that you might do a work in somebody's heart. God, that you might draw them closer to you. Father, we need your help. We pray that your will be done. Please, God, go in front of us tonight. God, I pray you stand with us, oh Lord, and help us. God, I pray you drive back the powers of darkness And God, help us, Lord, to sow thy seed this evening. And Lord, we do pray again, God, that it'll get in good ground. And God, that we'll be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And God, it's one thing to sit and listen to a message. But God, it's another thing and entirely different, God, to put it in shoe leather. And God, I pray you to help us do just that tonight, myself included. And God, I just ask you to go and help this scene and search hearts. If there's any here tonight, God, that's lost. And God, no doubt there is. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them, dear Lord, with compassion. God, that you would draw them with bands of love and deal with their heart about this matter of salvation. Please, God, don't leave them where they are tonight. God, help them to turn. And if they'll be saved, God, Lord, I know they'll not be the same. And I thank you for that. Thank you, dear God, you never saved anybody and left them in the hog pen. Thank you, dear God, tonight you never saved anybody and left us in the ditch, God, but you cleaned us up and you put our feet on a solid rock and establish our goings. Put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And Lord, we stand before you today and bless you for it. Thank you, God, tonight. Have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray for thy glory and that honor's sake. Amen. Amen. If you'll stay with us just for a few minutes, I'll try my best, my due diligence, to get on down into this message and pray that it'll be a help to you. I think we understand where we're at here in the book of Deuteronomy. And there's some great spiritual lessons that we could draw out of these verses tonight that'd be a help to us. And I want to go back and look at just a few things, make a comment or two. And to be honest with you, I'm going to draw this verse number 6 where he said, you've dwelt long enough in this mount, up out of that, if I can tonight. We're not going to do any damage to the scripture. We're going to rightly divide it. But there is a thought here, amen, that God wants us to go further on than where we are tonight. There's no doubt about it. God wants us to go further than where we are tonight in our relationship with him. See, God said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. So you can be as close to God tonight as you desire to be. Now, I understand tonight sitting in a crowd this size, no doubt, and there's a lot of people come from different backgrounds, and you've endured different things, you've faced different challenges, you've had different heartaches and heartbreaks in your life, but I'm telling you tonight, friend, you can be as close to God as you want to be. And they may be somebody betrayed you along the way, and I want to just say this, probably just join the crowd. Amen, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen, if you live right for God, hey, friend, they hated him, and they're going to hate you. Amen, they're not going to want to have anything to do with you. We're told in the Bible to come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And if we're going to do that, and mind God, amen, hey, we're just strangers and pilgrims here. The world's not going to understand us tonight. They're not going to embrace where you stand tonight. They don't understand why you don't believe in sodomy and lesbianism and things of that nature. They don't understand that. But we know why we believe those things. And no matter where you come from tonight, amen, God wants you to be close to him. There's no question. God's not trying to keep you away at arm's length. You can be as close to God as you desire to be. Amen. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw mine to you. It's just that simple. God's not trying to keep you away. So here in these verses, and I know, I understand it's God that's brought them here. But he knows, listen to me, it's God that's brought them right here. They can't go no further than what God wanted them to go. God's brought them here, but now God wants them to move on to their inheritance. And I'm afraid tonight, preacher, that a lot of us, and myself no doubt included, still haven't arrived at the place. We'll never arrive. Do you understand that? We'll never attain. I mean, Paul said, I've not attained. But I'd hate to know that I got to heaven and they still something I ain't cashed out of my checking account that God would have done in my life. Does that make sense? That I just cut God short, that I draw, let me say it this way, that I cut God short, that I draw the line on God and said, I'm not going no further. I'm not giving any more to missions. I'm not going to tithe anymore. I'm not going to give any more in offerings. I'm not going on visitation. I'm not showing up when it's prayer time down at church. I'm not going to do those things. And you've drawn a line on God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, you're robbing yourself of the joy and the peace of God. I mean, you've limited the Holy One of Israel. And because you've done that,
I tell you, it's hard to be happy. It's hard to have joy. It's hard to have victory down in your heart and in your life when you cut God short. God wants us to go further on. And if God will help me, and that's what I want to preach on, going further on. When you look at the book of Deuteronomy, let's go back into chapter number 1. The Bible said, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, in the wilderness, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. You know, God knows exactly where we are tonight. You look at these words. He said, on this side, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel. God knows where you are tonight. God's aware of his people, and he's aware of the place that we occupy. God knows exactly where me and you are. And I want to say this. Hey, he wants every one of us to get closer. And that's about as simple a way as I can. I'm just a simple old country preacher. But I mean, hey, God wants us to get closer to him. I mean, don't you appreciate it when you that have children, don't you appreciate it when your kids crawl up in your lap? I mean, that ain't a blessing to you when you're sitting around the house and they really don't even want nothing. And they just come by and say, I just want to get in your lap. And maybe they get up on your mother's laps and put their arms around your neck, run their hand through your hair and kiss you on the cheek and just tell you they love you. Nana, I love you. Papa, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Mama, I love you. Hey, friend, thank God. That's the way we ought to be with the Lord. Hey, he saved us from hell. He washed us in his blood. He sealed us with his Holy Spirit. He justified us by the good grace of God. We've got something to be thrilled about tonight. Oh, we ought to be excited about salvation. And we ought to desire to have a deeper relationship with him. A deeper, more meaningful relationship with God. You probably not even scratched the surface of where you could be. I haven't either. I'll be honest with you. I think we're in that condition tonight. What do you think? That we could get closer. That we could pray more earnest. We could tell more lost about the Son of God that loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. I tell you, God wants us to go further, and there's a lot of things to say. But God knows where we're at. And God's ironing it out here in this first chapter, chapter 1. And when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, I want to say that, you say, preacher, why in the world would you preach out of Deuteronomy on a revival night?
Good, preacher.
Number one, that's where God's directed us to. Amen. Amen. But when you look at the Deuteronomy, you look at these first five books of the Bible, which is referred to as the Pentateuch, you can see a picture of salvation in every one of them. In the book of Genesis, you see the ruination of man and the fall of humanity. You come over to the book of Exodus, we see the redemption of man. Then you go over to the book of Leviticus and you see the sanctification of man. And the offerings and those things that God's are cleaning him up and establishing the relationship with man, the atonement sacrifice. And you see all those things in the book of Numbers. We see the progression of man.
Right.
Unfortunately, in the book of Numbers, we see God chastening his children when they do wrong, sending fiery serpents in, plagues in, and different things of that nature. But when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, we see the destination of man. You say, what is the destination of man? I'm telling you, it's to go in. Listen to me. It's to go in and get his inheritance. That's our destination. Now, you say, you got any New Testament verses on that? I do, thank God. How much? Amen. Book of Romans chapter number 8, the Bible said this. The Spirit itself, talking about the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs. Praise God. I mean, are we living up to our birthright? I'm a child of God. I can call him Father. And if you're lost, you can't call him Father. And Jesus said, you're the children of the devil. You'll do what your daddy wants you to do. Ain't that what he said over in John chapter 8? Thank God, I'm glad I got out of that family. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm glad I got born again. Amen. I didn't get religious, amen, almost 28 years ago. I didn't just thought I'd do better. I didn't think, well, I'm just going to join a church and change my mind and make some different decisions and sign a card and repeat a prayer. I'm telling you, God Almighty hung me out over hell, showed me I was lost and undone. And brother, when I turned to him in repentance and I turned my back on that old lifestyle, God birthed me in and he saved me by his grace. He washed me in his blood. He put his spirit inside of me. Somebody said, preacher, you still believe in repentance? Brother, I've been repenting ever since I've been saved. Amen. Praise God, you repent, you won't stop repenting. Amen. Son, the Holy Ghost won't let you get settled down in sin. Sheep don't want to wallow in the mire. I'm not a dog returning back to its vomit. Praise God, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. I'm not a dog. I'm not a sow. Praise God, I said I'm a sheep. And thank God I've got a good shepherd tonight. Thank God I've got a chief shepherd tonight. I said, bless his name. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Bless his good name tonight. And he does lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the way he leads us. He don't lead us to sin. What shall we say that we shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Oh, no. 1,000 times no. God's people all want to get away from sin. You ought to run from sin. You ought to have enough integrity of Joseph of old to flee from sin. Amen. Well, we're heirs and joint heirs. Paul said this in Philippians chapter number 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. The preacher's talking about, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I say hallelujah. That's pretty good. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be saved. Amen. Been found in him, not having my own righteousness. We ain't got none. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Brother, we're all as an unclean thing. We're as a leaf that fades away and everything. I'll tell you, brother, we can't never be good enough to go to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith and the knowledge of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God, preacher, when we get to heaven, ain't nobody going to be bragging on what they done. Ain't nobody going to be bragging on what they done. Ain't nobody going to be patting themselves on the back, congratulating themselves. Hey, if you die and go to hell, you can thank yourself for going there. But if you die and go to heaven, you can thank Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, you can worship him and praise him. They overcome the devil, he said in Revelation, by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for as much as you know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold or vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for the blood tonight. Oh, yes, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Is that right? That's what he said. I say, bless his name. But Paul said, you know, I don't have no righteousness and not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. But the law can't save you. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. I'm going to tell you what verse pulled me out of the ditch years ago. For I did not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I was trying to keep myself saved. Somebody else say amen. That's where I was at now. I was trying to keep myself saved. Walked on pins and needles thinking I'd be lost and everything else, but it was a happy day in my life when God turned the searchlight of his word on and showed me, praise God, through the scripture, through the book, amen, that I've got life and I can have it more abundantly. That's what I'm trying to preach on tonight, but I'm having a hard time getting there. Amen, I'm talking about life more abundantly. Now, you're saved by the grace of God. I don't doubt that a bit, and I pray that you are, and if you ain't, praise God, you ought to come down here and fall on your face right now and get born again. You ought to get saved. You ought to do it right now. You don't have to wait on me to finish. You don't don't have to wait on somebody to sing a special. You ought to just fall out and get born again. Preacher, I like studying words. He said, for I do not frustrate the grace of God. And I know what we think about the word frustrate. I know what we think it means. And you've been frustrated and I've been frustrated. And if you ain't, you're a liar. Amen. If you say you ain't. But that word frustrate, it means to make void. It means to disannul. It means to cancel out.
That's right.
That's what I was doing. I was canceling out the grace of God. Amen. I was trying to revert back. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just got saved. I was at the mercy of those I was sitting there listening to. And for I do not frustrate, for I do not make void. For I do not disannul. I'm not canceling. Paul said, for I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, listen to this. He said, Christ is dead in vain. Brother, if you could keep the law and be saved, why'd he even come and die? I mean, brother, if we could do it, I mean, Calvary don't even make no sense. But we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, but he could, thank God. Amen. Oh, yeah. I didn't learn that in Sunday school. I learned that in my face on a pine thicket on a rock altar. Amen. That's where I learned. That's where I figured it out. By the good grace of God when he turned the light on. But Paul said, I got to go on, listen. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith that I may know him. That I may know him. Now, somebody say, I know Andy Lockhart, but you don't know me. You don't know any more about me than what I'll let you know.
That's right.
Right? Paul's not talking about just some casual acquaintance in these verses. That I may know him. And don't misunderstand this word, in an intimate way, in a personal way. That I may know him. Well, Paul enjoyed. Hey, thank God, Enoch walked with God. Paul walked with God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if it's 2026. I don't care what the UN's doing tonight. I don't care what they done yesterday during halftime. I could care less. I mean, I didn't even preach on it, brother, because I really just don't care. It's so small and minute and pitiful. Why even waste my time on it? But I will tell you this much, thank God. I mean, we can walk with God. It don't matter how wicked the world gets. It don't matter how impoverished in sin it becomes. I'm telling you, friend, you can walk as close to God tonight as you want to walk with God. God said, you've been here long enough, and I'm ready for you to pack up and move on. I'm ready for you to go get what I've got laid up for. Oh, yeah. I'm ready for you to get what I've laid up for you. I've got a land flowing with milk and honey. Thank God I've been carrying out grapes on the staff. I've got a land, thank God, that'll provide for you and your family. I've got a land this evening that'll take care of you, that I'm going to bless you with. But it's up to you whether or not you go get it. It's up to you whether or not you. God ain't going to drag you out there. God ain't going to drag you over Jordan. God's not going to drag you over into Canaan land. But see, that songwriter had it right. I'm living in Canaan now. Somebody said Canaan land's heaven. No, Canaan land's not heaven. Brother, when I get to heaven, I ain't having to bear a shield and a sword no more. Brother James, thank God we'll rest from our labors. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll rest from our labors. But ain't no more fighting over in heaven. Praise God. We'll be at the feet of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what we don't like. Ain't nobody signs up for those. I preached on that enough the last time I was here. And I ain't going to belabor that point. But I'm telling you, nobody signs up for those things. But it is there you'll get to know him better. It is there that he'll reveal himself to you. Amen.
Right.
It is there where he could raise your Lazarus up.
Yeah.
It's there where he can raise Jairus' daughter up. I mean, my soul in the morning, friend. The widow of Nain's son over in Luke 7. Man, they're brokenhearted. I mean, they're crushed. I mean, it's a difficult road. They're burying their loved ones. People around them is dying. And there's things in mind in your life that only God can raise up. Only God can resurrect. And sometimes things look like they're dead, but that don't mean that God, man, that, listen, bro, there's so much liberty up here.
I know, yeah, that's good.
That God, what about that son that man brought to the Lord? He gets down there and there's the Pharisees and the scribes and there's a big debate going on, and Jesus and those inner circle, the Peter, James, and John, they been up in the mount, and this guy's walked in, I mean, on a Baptist business meeting. Come on. I mean, they're into it, the scribes and the disciples, and there's a bunch of bickering and fussing and fighting going on. And this guy asked the disciples, can you help my boy? And they no, we can't, you know, we ain't able to help him. And I mean, it looks like a mess. I mean, it looks like nothing good can come out of it.
Right.
And then Jesus shows up.
Yes.
Brother, how many times has he ever showed up in your life?
Yeah.
When it looked like there was no help on the way. I mean, you're down at the Red Sea, brother, and you're looking at water, nothing but water in front of you, nothing but Pharaoh behind you.
Right.
It don't look good.
Right.
But God said, Moses said, stand still, but God said, go forward.
Yes.
Say, what's God saying? He said, you're going to have to go further.
Yeah.
That man went further.
Amen.
That man with his son went further. He could have let discouragement set in on him as he looked at this crowd and this mob and all the bickering and fussing that's going on. But he said, no, I'm going to wait till Jesus shows up. I'm going to stay right here. And when Jesus come down, the discourse begins. And he said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, can you help us?
Yep.
If thou canst do anything, can you help us? He said, well, if thou canst believe, I can, you know. And he cast the devil out of the boy, but the boy falls over and he appears to be dead. Everybody thought he was dead.
Right.
See, appearances ain't always what they seem.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
He took him by the hand and raised him up.
Hey.
I mean, God is a personal God.
Amen.
We have a personal, is anybody getting what I'm telling you now? We have a personal Savior. And he wants to put his hand in your life and on your life. He touched that boy. He put his hand on that situation. I'm talking about the Creator touching the creation. Broken heart, mending broken hearts. Pouring oil into wounds when the thieves have left them to die. Is that Bible or not? Say, I mean, that's Bible. Let me give you something to think on right here if I can. James Alexander Stewart said this about revival, and it's always meant a lot. It meant enough to me. I wrote it in the back of my Bible. He said the vast majority of Christians are living a subnormal Christian life. The New Testament characteristics of power invincible, joy unspeakable, glory immeasurable, and peace incomprehensible are strangely lacking in their lives. The Christian experience of the church is not deep, intense, or vital enough to meet our own needs, let alone the needs of others. The result is we have the invalid's groan. We have the invalid's groan instead of a warrior's shout. You think that's true? Could that be true in your life?
Right.
You say, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. I think we could do better.
Right.
How dare you, Brother Andy? I'm just telling you what God wants me to come in here and preach on.
Right.
I think we could go further. What do you think? I've never seen anybody regret going further. I've never met anybody that said, I regret going as far with God as I've never met anybody, preacher. No, nobody. My wife's grandmother that prayed me in, I tell you, she went far with the Lord. There's no question. I mean, I'm talking about praying 3 and 4 hours a day. There was a boy in the community lost his billfold. I didn't tell this here last time, did I? And I'm not into just storytelling. I'm just talking about you can still walk with God.
Right.
Brother James, he would have met my wife's grandmother. He probably don't remember Sister Janie Bivens. And boy, everybody knows. I mean, he's a praying woman. But she didn't get there by sailing glassy seas.
No.
Her life was full of heartache and misery, and death and pain, and sorrows. But she walked with the Lord. There's an old boy around home. He was out logging, and he lost his billfold. He called my wife's granny, and he said, "Sister Janie," he said, "I was out working today and lost my billfold out in the woods. Got everything I own's in that billfold."
Yeah.
He said, "All my money's in it." He said, "You care to pray for me?" She said, "Not a bit." She said, "I'll pray for you, and you just call me back if you need to or whatever, but I will be praying for you." She got to praying for him. About 2 or 3 hours passed. She'd been praying for that. He was a Stockwell boy. She kept praying for him, and he'd find that billfold, and in a little while, he called her back and said, "Sister Janie," he said, "I appreciate you praying." She said, "I got a question I want to ask you." She said, "Was you out there in the woods today sitting at lunch eating a sandwich on a log?" He said, "Yeah, I was out there eating my lunch on a log." She said, "I think if you'll go back to that log, you'll probably find your billfold."
Yeah.
You know what he done, preacher? He went back to that log, and guess what he found? He found his billfold.
Yeah, what about that?
I'm talking about somebody that's willing to go further.
Yeah.
And you could stand up and tell stories about saints that you used to know.
Right.
And you could relate stories to us, accounts here in our Bible about people that you've read about.
Go ahead.
But this is what you're missing. We'll make monuments and talk about them and make heroes out of them. And brother, I'm telling you, we could live the same life.
Amen.
Not for vanity's sake, not for vainglory. You say, "I don't believe that." It don't matter to me if you believe it or not. It's the truth. I'm talking about somebody that prayed and walked with God and had a relationship with the Lord and was willing to go further despite all the obstacles, despite all the hardships, despite all the heartaches. She said, "I'm going to go further on with God." See, Deuteronomy is all about our destination in God. I mean, we've already been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, we know we're to live separated in Leviticus, and we know that God's dealing with us in Numbers and accounting for, we're accounted for when you look at the book of Numbers. But I'm telling you tonight, I mean, we have dwelt in this place long enough, and God wants us to go further. God wants us to go further. Preacher, I always outline messages, and some of you may not, and don't throw me under the bus. Amen. Just pray for me if it's wicked or something. Amen. Just pray for me. If it's ungodly, I mean, I'm sure God can straighten me out on it.
Yeah, brother.
But I'd just like to give you a few thoughts this evening. Can I give you a few thoughts that's on my heart?
Yeah,
I mean, this is what's the major thing that's on my heart. God, if you want to live where you are and you're content to stay right there, God's going to let you. God's going to let you. I'm going to tell you something, Granny. Them grandbabies need you to dig a little deeper. I'm going to tell you something, Pa. Them grandbabies need Pa to get out behind that barn like he used to do and ring them prayer bells of heaven again. Brother, when I first got saved, I went down to Faith Baptist Camp, and I got to hanging around men like Brother Allen.
Go ahead.
Had Brother Mitchell in.
Yep.
And Brother Milford Biddle, Brother Stennett Blue, and all of them. Fane Jordan, y'all know them. Developed friendships with those men. Brother Jordan would come and hold a revival at the church. Brother Allen would come and hold a revival at the church. I started in a little old storefront. That's what God put it in our heart to go start a work.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
And I'd have never dreamed I'd have got to see the things I've got to see. What God's done in my life. It ain't about me, it's about Him.
Right.
So He'll get all the glory for it.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Praise God.
But in getting around those fellas, I'm going to tell you something. Brother, they'd wire you out.
Yep.
They'd tear every square inch of hide you had off.
Amen.
Guts on the wall, blood in the cracks, and hide in the floor. Amen.
Praise,
yep. But there's one thing they wanted us to be sure of. That we wouldn't sit at ease in Zion.
Yeah.
They want us to make sure that we hadn't fooled around and drifted off into a far country and spent all our substance on riotous living.
Yeah.
And if you're in that condition tonight, if you're sitting here as a young person, if you went down into that far country and you spent all you had on riotous living, hey, you need to come to yourself tonight. You need to realize, hey, there's victory in Jesus this evening. There's victory in serving God. There's joy in serving the Lord. I mean, there's peace in walking with God. You need to understand that. You don't have to wallow in the cesspool of sin tonight. You don't have to partake in iniquity because that's what all your friends are doing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good preaching.
You ought to get up and get out of there and go further with God. He had to come to himself. That boy in Luke 15, he had to come to himself. He began to weigh that thing out, and he finally woke up and said, what in the world am I doing down here? I mean, my father's house has bread enough and to spare. And I'm down here? Temporary joys? It's temporary things? Temporary pleasure and sin for a season? He said, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Hey, if you're sitting here not lost and never been saved, you don't know what you're missing out on. You really don't know. I'm telling you, brother, if we could bottle up Salvation Night and sell it on the shelf, we'd put the liquor crowd out of business. Amen. I mean, they'd close their doors. Amen. If I could sell it in the bottle, praise God. Amen. I'd be a billionaire overnight, trillionaire. This world only knew, preacher, what we've got. The peace we have that passes all understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Victory, amen. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got victory. Thank God we can say no to sin. That demoniac's over there in Mark chapter number 5. And I tell you, Jesus got off that ship, and as he did, they'd been trying to bind that fella, and they'd been putting stocks and fetters and chains on him, and he had often plucked them asunder. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't need chained up. He needed set free.
Right.
That's all he needed. He just needed somebody to set him free.
Right.
And that's what you need tonight. If you're lost, you just need to be set free.
Right.
And whom the Son has set free, thank God, he is free indeed. Hallelujah.
Right.
Freedom to live right. Freedom to walk right. Freedom to worship. God's not going to drag you if you're content to stay there. I'm just telling you, it's sad, and I wish I could have more time to tell you more. But I can't preach to midnight. I guess I could, but somebody ought to fall out a window or something. Amen. You know the sad thing about the danger of not going further? Reuben, Gad, and half that tribe of Manasseh is the first ones to fall.
That's right, preacher.
Yes, sir. They didn't want to go further. They had an inheritance over there, and they said, nah, we're content to stay over here. One old preacher said years ago, it's a good place for cattle, but it's a bad place for children. I'd say amen to that.
That's right.
I'd say amen to that. Amen. I mean, if you don't go further, your home may be shipwrecked in 2 or 3 years. Preacher, I got a mind God right here. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Behind the handshakes and smiles, there's probably a couple sitting here tonight. And I hope this don't sound like mysticism. I don't mean it to. But I'm telling you, I know what God dealt with my heart about. And I'm telling you, behind the handshakes and smiles, these people probably sitting here, and on your mind, you've done talked about divorce behind closed doors. May have even done come to the preacher and talked to him. I don't know. Brother Sexton ain't told me nothing. I'm just telling you, amen, what you need to do is just make up your mind. Get your wife by the hand and say, honey, we've messed up. I mean, when we stood across and we made our vows one another, preacher, I'm still against divorce. God hates it.
Yeah.
It may get quiet right here. I'm telling you, he hates the putting away.
Yeah.
It don't make you a second-rate Christian if you've been there and you can get forgiveness. I'm telling you, God ain't pleased with it.
Yeah.
He ain't pleased with it, bro. But they've quit preaching on it.
Right.
I mean, we've dropped the ball. Our young people need to know.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's one man for one woman, brother, for one lifetime. And they need to understand that.
Yeah.
They need to be prayerful about who they marry.
Yeah.
They need to be prayerful about who they court.
Yeah.
They need to be prayerful about who the mate is that God wants them in their life. Amen. So what do you think about a double married preacher? I don't. You can do what you want to do, but I don't. Amen. I still think I'll be the husband of one wife. And 1 + 1 = 2, so I don't know what you're going to do with that. But anyhow, it's going to get quiet right here, but it's just the way it is. I mean, that's just what it is. The danger of not going further, you'll be the first ones to fall if you ain't careful.
You're
setting yourself up for disaster. You're setting yourself, withdrawn away from the umbrella of God's protection. Amen. Let me go on record and say this, because I know there's a stump here and I've done bumped into it. Amen. Some of the finest people I pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm just going to tell you, I mean, they've been in that condition. They've been in that condition. I mean, fine folks. Are you listening to me? Lost, you can make bad decisions. Hey, that's another reason you ought to just get saved tonight. You're sitting around lost, brother. I'm telling you, and you're in love with ideals, and you think the Hollywood dating's for you. Brother, you better get saved. You better get saved. Because if you don't, you're going to make some poor decisions along the way. Brother, I didn't get saved when I was 25. I made some bad decisions. I'm talking about bad, and time wouldn't permit me to tell them, but I made some bad decisions. Amen.
Good.
Brother, you need God to guide your life. So I believe in God. Hey, the devil's do and tremble, but that ain't going to help you none. Friend, you got to be born again. You need to indwell by the Holy Spirit of God. I done told you a minute ago, you can't call him Father if you're not saved. I'm not, I don't sound mean tonight, do I?
No, sir, that's good preaching.
That's
good preaching. Amen.
Demas didn't go far enough.
Right.
We read about him in a few places.
Yeah, brother.
And the last time we read about him, Paul's getting ready to check out of the scene. Now see, Paul went further. Paul, when he assessed his life, he said, I'm going to tell you what I've done. I made up my mind. I fought a good fight. And I finished my course. And I kept the faith. There'll be people, listen to me now. They'll live their life, but they'll never really finish their course. Demas didn't go far enough. And last time we read about him, he'd forsaken the right way. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But this world can't shine a light to the joy in knowing God. Woo! I said glory, hallelujah. Man, hey, friend, booze and dope and fornicating and adultery and stealing and lying, they can't shine a light to living for God.